You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are on the last installment of our series called The Story of Us. Many of you know that this is biblical anthropology. But before anything else, before we get to the word here this afternoon, we are celebrating the first year of Victory Tagbilaran today, this Sunday. If you know Pastor JD, Nikki, please do send them a message of encouragement. Nakadikit po tayo sa Victory Tagbilaran in a sense that we are the ones who planted that church. So I should have been there today, but you know, nonetheless, Pastor Donnie's there. So we are celebrating first year. That's how time flies. And right now, there's like more or less 100 people attending every Sunday's worship services in Victory Tagbilaran. We just give God praises for that one. Okay, that's what they have. So please do greet them. Okay, like what I said a while ago, we are on the third installment of The Story of Us. And today we are on Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 to 24. We will not cover all of these verses, but we're going to read all of them. We'll specifically look into Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. May I ask all of us to stand for a while to show respect and reverence for God's word here today? Go ahead. I'm reading from the ESV. That's the English Standard Version. I also want to encourage everyone, okay, next week po, okay, next week, if you're a regular attendee of Victory Dumaguete, please make sure that you get to bring your own Bible, okay, be it a physical one or one on your smartphone. If you have a smartphone, there's a lot of Bibles that are downloadable, but we're using the ESV version. It says here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desires shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brows or your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Then Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Let me see a show of hands for a while, 3 p.m. service. When we have been with us since we started this series, you know, the past two Sundays you were here, just for me to know, come on. So there's quite a number of you. So let me do a rehashing, a review rather, or a recap of what we've talked about. First is, this might not really do justice, but if you have access to the internet, which I think many of you have, or all of us have, please do check out www.victorydumaguete.org and go to the podcast section. The first 2 weeks of this installment are actually there. Why am I saying that? In order for you to really understand and grasp what we are talking about here today, this afternoon, it will be good for you to have a good context. What this series is all about is, this is biblical anthropology. We added the word biblical because there is a worldview coming from the Bible when it comes to anthropology. When you say anthropology, it's basically the study of men. So at least in our case, where we have covered our origin, we have said that we have not evolved from a germ or something like that. We are much more sophisticated and complicated than that thought. We have agreed and established that we have been created in the image and likeness of God. Amen? And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your scene in front. Mukha bang fearfully or wonderfully made? Next naman. Of course, fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? We've looked at our origin and purpose. And then we also said that not many, but all of the social issues that we have experienced in the past, that we are experiencing in our generation right now, and we will experience in the future, are just a result of our deviation as humans, okay, as mankind, from the original intent of God and purposes for us. Here's what we have covered. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. We said, God saw everything that he had made. 6 days he created everything. So in 6 days, he created everything. And behold, the Bible says, when he saw it, he says that everything was very good. Now, the very good here, mind you, is not the same with the words we just typically use when we say very good. For example, when someone passes exam, when you get a 4.0 in your mathematics, you get 4.0 in your 3.8 in your organic chemistry, or biochemistry, or in your calculus. What's the most difficult subject in accountancy? Accounting. Okay, so if you get a 3.8 in your accountancy and then your teacher tells you, okay, very good. It's quite different. This is a different. I want us to understand that this word, of course, was translated to English for us to be able to read this. But in its original Hebrew, the word very there is the word meod, which means vehemently or intensely or passionately. So meaning to say, I want us to understand, friends, 3 p.m. service, that we serve and worship an excellent God. And therefore, because we worship and serve an excellent God, everything that He has created in the span of 6 days were all perfect, were all excellent. Okay, everything was all perfect, everything was excellent. And then on the sixth day, He created the crown jewel of His creation. Okay, created in His image, in His likeness. We call that Imago Dei in theological term. And that talks about every single one of us. Yung unggoy po, wala pong image ni God yan, tayo po meron. Hindi ko po alam kung bakit masyado nating ina-accept na ninuno natin ang unggoy. Insulto po yun sa unggoy. Okay? Now, let me proceed. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, here's what happened. Here's what happened. We know that the Bible teaches us that among all of God's creation, there was this serpent who was more crafty than everybody else. That the Bible says, okay, that serpent started what? Tempting Eve and Adam. Iba po yung temptation nila because their temptation, or I don't know, let me explain it this way. When we are being tempted right now, we are tempted based on the template of a sin that we have committed in the past. Meaning to say, you are being tempted right now because for some reason you've done something, you know, similar than what you're being tempted right now. So, but for Adam and Eve, it was totally original, it was totally different because they don't have any template. They were pure in innocence, in holiness, in righteousness standing before God. Yet they were tempted by the serpent. Okay, and the serpent there, as we know last week, okay, the serpent there was actually talking. So of course, we know for a fact that it was Satan himself. Okay, Satan himself was basically taking possession of that serpent and started talking to Eve. And here's what happened. Here's the sad story. Everybody say sad. Okay, here's the sad story. Everything was so good. Everything was so good according to the Bible. Yet, because of this one, the Bible says, you know, Eve took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. You know, the sin here is not really the act of eating, but it's what? It's the disobedience on the precepts that God has given them. So meaning to say, sin entered or was ushered into the world. How bad is that? How bad of a story is that when we start talking about sin? For you to know first how terrible or bad is that, we need to know first how terrible or how crazy, how evil the proponent of sin is. I'm talking about the devil himself. You know, the devil was ascribed different names by different groups of people in the entirety of the Bible. Now, look at this one. He was called devil, which simply means slanderer. He was also called Satan, which means accuser. Not just that. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, if I'm not mistaken, this was Jesus himself referring to the devil as the evil one. Okay, not just that. In John chapter 12, verse 31, the Bible says that if you talk about the ruler of this world, we're actually talking about the devil. He is the ruler of this world. In what sense? I'll explain it later. Look at this one. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, even the Pharisees would call the devil Beelzebul or Beelzebub. Not just that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle Paul, every time he refers to the devil, to Satan, he calls that entity the God of this age. When he was writing to the church in Ephesus, he said, the devil is what? The prince of the power of the air. It gives us a picture, friends, that the devil has so much influence in our world right now. What was the call of Adam? The call of Adam was to be a good steward. When they disobeyed, when being a good steward, it's like we have been given by God the keys or the authority in this earth. But when we sin, it's like, you know, Satan took that authority away from Adam. That is why he's called the prince of the power of the air. And the influence of the devil is very much seen in movies, in the academe, in government, in every sector of the society. Let me just talk about one thing. Let me just talk about one among the many. One is the movies. I have to bring this in because it's almost Halloween. And most likely, some of you are starting to write down, okay, the list of horror movies that you're gonna watch. I wanna submit something to you, friends, and I wanna appeal to you, 3 p.m. service. Every time you watch a horror film, let me ask you this question. Is your faith getting built up? Of course not. Every time you watch horror movies, it's fear that's creeping in. Ang lakas mo mag-iayamanood ng horror movie, tapos maya-maya magpapasama ako muna ng tubig. Come on now. Meaning to say, you know, a horror film is not a God-glorifying film for that matter. Okay? If it's not a God-glorifying film, a horror movie then is a Satan-glorifying film for that matter. Some of you here have Netflix subscription. I'm talking to you. So instead of gunning for something like that, you might want to go for something else this November 1 and November 2. You know, the scene of Adam and Eve can be summarized into this. They chose the fruit of the tree more than their fellowship with God. And that is not quite different from our challenges right now. Every time you look at the fruit of the tree, the Bible says it was pleasurable to the sight. It was pleasurable in a sense that Eve can get wisdom out of it. So it was beautiful. So the problem there was that Eve was given a very strict instruction not to eat of that fruit. And she knows for a fact that the time that she's going to partake of that fruit, she will what? She will forego this deep fellowship and communion with God. And it's no different from all of us here today, even as Christians. Okay, even as Christians, sometimes we are being tempted with momentary pleasure at the expense of your communion with God. Okay, that is how terrible sin is. Let me bring this further or nail this further. Because of one sin, everybody say one sin. Because of that one disobedience, look at this one. Because of that one disobedience, Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that creation then was subjected to futility and it is in bondage to corruption. Patay. What does that mean? Okay, because of one sin, the entire creation, not just humans, but the entire creation was subjected to emptiness. That is why there's a lot of people who are taking their own life because they can't find any meaning into the life that they're living. Why? Because people have already deviated from our origin, our purposes in our life. Okay, when you say we are bondage to corruption, do you folks realize that our physical bodies aren't supposed to be decaying? I mean, when God created us, we're supposed to be living with Him in paradise for all eternity. And right now, I think the biggest industry in terms of sales is, other than the pharmaceutical industry, is cosmetics for that matter. Why? Because we want to reverse aging, reverse the process. At the end of the day, we will all decay. We will all die. And it is because sin entered into the world. All of these things right here, all of these things are just a result of our corruption. I'd like for you to think of the worst person that you can think of. Just think about that person. Okay, have you ever watched TV Patrol or CNN? You've watched this adult who did this to a young kid. You start becoming so angry with that person. If that doesn't make you angry, have you ever watched those films about people eating and killing dogs? It makes you so mad. I want you to understand this. Apart from the grace of God, you can be that person. This is how corrupted our world is. Like what I said, social issues like pollution, people having cancer, asthma, crutches, wheelchair, people murdering someone, people in the parliament killing each other, acts of terrorism, someone losing a loved one, someone being in the hospital, in the ICU, people being cruel to each other, being cruel to animals, all of these things are just a result of our futility and corruption. It is because we are sinful. And guess what, friends? These things happen. Everybody say happen. These things happen in our lifetime. These things happen in our lifetime. You know, people would say that a child is already exposed to pornography at the age of 7. Welcome to the real world. This is the world that we live right now. Guess what, friends? Look at this one. We will be encountering this in repeat mode. Over and over again for the rest of our life. Up until we're like what? 85 years old. Up until we're like 93 years old, 95. And finally, when we die at 97, we will close our eyes and we will be buried in our grave having witnessed all of these things. Wait, there's more. I'm just talking about that which we will encounter in this lifetime because of sin. But after this lifetime is a far worse scenario for every single sinner in this world. And I'm talking about an eternal time in the fire and flames of hell. So it gives me a picture that a person who sins will encounter this when everything is said and done. And hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Bible teaches us that hell is a place where worms do not die. Bible teaches us that hell is a place where there's gnashing of teeth. Bible teaches us that hell is a place of torment. Bible teaches us that hell is a place where the fire cannot be quenched. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of crying. Yet, in hell, there's no remorse. In hell, there's no repentance. The only time we get to repent is when we are on this earth. So guess what, friends? Look up here for a while. This is bad news, right? This is bad news. The bad news is every single sinner in this world will end up here. Come on now. Nahomi, can Alice say that at one point in your life, you've sinned? Anyone? Can I see your hand for a while? I'll lift both my hands. So, if at one point in my life I have sinned, then it gives me a picture that, oh my goodness, see you, Ryan? I'll be ending up in this place right here. In what sense? Look at this one. Bible teaches us, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And death here talks about this one right here. So for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we might say, ang lupit naman ni Adam. Tigas kasi ng ulo. But wait, look at this one. It says here, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death came through that sin, and so death spread to all men because all men have sinned. So before we shift the blame to Adam, guess what, friends? Even if it was not Adam, even if it was you, you're going to do the same thing. So at the end of the day, friends, at the end of the day, the bad news is, no matter how beautiful creation was, the bad news is, because we are all sinners, we will all end up in hell. This is not the best time to walk out of this room because you have to listen to the good news. Reality stands, fact stands, Bible teaches us, sin equals death. It's a universal principle that applies to people in Belgium, people in Spain, people in the Philippines, people in Malaysia, people in the Middle East. It applies to everyone. Sin equals death. Stories like this deserve a plot twist. Amen? There has to be a plot twist. Let me talk about plot twist for a while. Anyone here who's a creative writer, you're a writer, you love writing, anyone? I have to ask it because there's a lot of writers in Siliman. And Dumaguete in general. Okay, a plot twist is a literary technique, okay, that authors would use to what? To create a radical shift or change in the direction of the story. Okay, let me repeat that. A plot twist is what authors or directors would use to create a radical shift in the direction of the story. Meaning to say, if everyone is heading this way, and then the author creates a plot twist that changes dramatically the events or the direction of the entire story. Guess what? Thank God, God created a plot twist. We are all destined for what? For damnation in hell. Yet, God, in His grace, in His mercy, in His love, wouldn't want us to go to hell, wouldn't want us to be separated forever, so He created a plot twist, something that would radically change the story. And I'm talking about redemption here today. I'm talking about redemption, and that is what we're going to talk about. First, I want to talk about the covenant of redemption. I want to talk about the covenant of redemption. We will see today how God, okay, would want to change the course of event for your life and for my life. Here's one thing that he has addressed to Satan. He was talking to Satan when Satan tempted even Adam. Okay, God starts looking at Satan in the face and start telling Satan, I will put an enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and he shall bruise his heel. Now, what is the first verse that you've memorized when you became a Christian? Or what's the most popular verse there is in the world? John chapter 3, verse 16. Even an unbeliever can recite John chapter 3, verse 16. For God, come on now, let's say this all together. For God so loved the world, his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Right? So, for God so loved the world, that's the plot twist right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish eternity in hell, but will have eternal life. That's one thing that you've memorized. But guess what? This verse right here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, deserves to be placed in the same category. In fact, if you are an atheist or you want to disprove Christianity, all you have to do is try to remove the Bible of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it's like that one thread that if you pull, everything else will unravel. That is how important Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is. Let's try to look at that for a while. It says here, I will put enmity between you and the woman. So God was looking at Satan and tells Satan, Satan, from this day on, because of what you've done, I will put an enmity between you and the woman. So what is the word enmity here? The word enmity here is the, in its original Hebrew, is the word aibah, which means hostility or hatred. So meaning to say, because you have done what you have done, Satan, the war is on. Okay, because you have done what you've done, now there's going to be hostility between Eve and Satan right here. Now let me explain this for a while. You know, God said it's going to be between Satan and Eve. If you read further, it says here, you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. God starts telling the serpent, okay, there's going to be an hostility between the two of you. But not just that. Between your offspring and her offspring, there's going to be hostility and hatred. So meaning there's going to be an epic battle, a perpetual battle between good and evil right here. Okay, let me explain it further. Let me just move forward. What God was essentially saying was that there's going to be battle between Satan's seed. When I say seed, I'm just using the same word as offspring. Satan's seed and Eve's seed. They're talking about two offspring here. Yet, when God starts explaining this, he says, the offspring of the woman, he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So it gives us a picture that there was no more talk of the offspring of the serpent here. But he was just talking about the seed or the offspring of Eve, of the woman, and Satan himself. So now this is a war between Satan and the seed of Eve. So what is the promise of hope that you can find in this verse? It's actually on the last part. It says here, the offspring will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is how important Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is. If you've memorized John chapter 3, verse 16, make sure that you memorize this verse as well. Why? Because Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is what we call proto-evangelion, which means this, my friend, is the first proclamation of the gospel. This, my friend, is the first proclamation of the gospel. Meaning to say, in this story right here, God gives a clue or a hint that he is going to do something for our redemption. In what sense? Satan right here will bruise the offspring or the seed's heel, and yet the seed will crush Satan's head. Why? Because Satan's bruising of the heel is an allusion to the suffering of Christ. There's basically one way to look at this. What God was saying was, Satan, your work will injure the woman's seed on the heel, but that very offspring of the woman will not just bruise you, but he will crush your head. He will crush your head. So meaning to say, something that is victorious will not come without a wound. Christ's death on the cross was a wound rendered by Satan. So imagine this with me. Imagine, let's transport back to 2,000 years ago. Let's say you are one of those people watching Jesus being crucified. You're watching Jesus being crucified. So, pumili na lang kayo ng character. Either you're a Roman soldier, or just use your imagination. Kayo nagbebenta ng ice tubig. Okay, nagbebenta ng ice tubig kasi mainit. So, basta andyan tayo lahat. Okay, andyan tayo lahat. Kino-crucify si Jesus. And guess what? When Jesus was crucified, the Bible says on the ninth hour, something happened to him. Bible says he left out his spirit. He started shouting, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And then it says, it is finished. He let out his spirit. The Bible says he died. He died on that very day. When he died, Satan thought it was victory for him. This was a picture of Satan rendering wood on the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought that by seeing Jesus Christ on the cross, he has already won the victory. Friends, Christian brothers and sisters, redeemed people of God, we know what happened after 3 days. On the third day, the Bible was very clear that Jesus Christ resurrected. He didn't remain in the tomb, but the tomb was emptied. Jesus Christ resurrected, and his resurrection and exaltation destroys Satan's power forever. And that is a picture of Jesus crushing the very head of Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil would deceive them. Look at this one. This is the destiny of Satan. Kung kayo po matatakutin, if you're afraid of the dark, this is the destiny of that entity na kinakatakutan nyo. It says here, the devil would deceive them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. At the end of the day, when everything is said and done, we know that Jesus Christ has won the victory for every single one of us. Jesus Christ has won the victory for every single one of us. Wait, friends, there's more. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says here, then the God of peace, talking about Jesus Christ, will soon crush Satan. Look at this one. Soon crush Satan under your feet. So may ibig sabihin po yan, ibig sabihin po, may role ang church. Meaning to say, the redeemed, all of us, will partake in the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a hint sandwiched between those curses that we've read a while ago. This was a hint that God was about to do something great, something deep, something amazing, something powerful for his people. You know, the picture of faith here was when Adam called Eve. When Adam called the woman Eve, it was just called woman. And then, this was in verse 20. We started reading verse 15. Pag naalala niyo po, verse 15, verse 14 starts talking about the curse to the snake. Kawawa nga yung snake eh. Ginamit lang ng Satan, nagkaroon to nilang cursing snake. May curse sa snake, may curse sa Satan, may curse kay Eve, may curse kay Adam. So puro curses yun, right? Now look at this one. If you are someone who would be standing there and you hear all of these curses, oh man, I made a mistake, I disobeyed. And then these are the consequences of my mistake. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God starts enumerating all of the consequences. Why? Because he was very clear from the onset that if you sin, you die. So if you get to hear that, what will you say? You're going to say something like, man, if you're dead, woman, you're dead. Kasi, binigay mo pa sa akin yung fruit eh. We're dead. But guess what, friends? Instead of lamenting, instead of being caught with the curses, Bible says that the word woman there is the word Isha. And out of the blue, Adam, whose name literally means red earth. walang destiny pangalan niya. Red earth lang talaga. In short, lupa. Ang pangalan, ang meaning ng pangalan ko, lupa. Hearing all of these curses, he could have said, man, I'm Adam, I'm the red earth. Because all of these curses, pangalan mo, putik. Kasi wala na, dumi natin. You know, he starts calling her Eve, which comes from the Hebrew word kaya, which means what? Which means life. Which means life. After hearing all of these curses, starts calling Eve life. You know what? That's a stand of faith. Meaning to say, nakitaan lang ni Adam ng story of redemption by looking at verse 15. When he heard that from God, he knew for a fact, man, this is going to be amazing. God is going to do something. And therefore, I declare you now that you will be called Eve because you're going to be the mother of all living. Another thing that we have to look into this is the cost of redemption. First is the covenant of redemption hidden. Hidden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now is the cost of redemption. Here's what happened. When they sinned, Bible says, look at this one. Their eyes were opened and they realized one thing. They realized that they were, come on now. They realized that they were naked. How in the world did they realize that they were naked? Because they were naked all along. Here's how it happens. You know what, right now, as I'm preaching to you, well, other than the fact that I don't really have a good eyesight, I can barely see your faces clearly because of these lights right here. You see these four lights here? Okay, we have two lights here. It's so bright. I feel like I'm an artist, okay, on a concert. But you know, truth of the matter is I can't really see you. So people on this side especially, I cannot see you, so you can actually sleep. I will not notice. So because of this bright light right here, I don't get to notice you, especially the 5 p.m. service and 7 p.m. service. Why am I sharing this? Look at this one. The glory of God would readily shine upon Adam and Eve. When they sin against God, it's like these four lights right here suddenly was turned off because the Spirit of God departed from them and suddenly they realized that they were naked. When they realized that they were naked, the Bible says, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. Okay, they sewed fig leaves. Uy! Grabe! We're naked. So they took fig leaves. Bible says they sewed it together, covered themselves. That is what sin does. Sin causes us to have shame. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. This is a picture of what religion is. Here's the fact. In our world right now, there's like 4,000 plus religions in the world. Why is that so? Have you ever thought of that? Why is it that if a group of National Geographic people would go into the middle of Amazon forest and guess what they discovered? Hey, there's a group of cannibal people here. There's a group of cannibal here. Never had any interaction with the outside world. And they're ready to kill us. They're going to realize one thing. The moment they have an interaction with them, they realize one thing, that these people have religion. Never had TV. Never had newspaper, but they have religion. You know why? Because it is innate in every single human being to worship someone. Every time someone's morality compass would start shaking because of something that they have done, they will always resort to religion. They will always try to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves. This is a picture of religion. And sometimes the sad reality here is that for some Christians, dinala pa rin nila yung religiosity nila sa Christianity. Christian ka na, religious ka pa rin. Instead of just repenting before God and have godly sorrow, you start doing this, so that you will be at peace back with God. Man, that is just saying that, Lord, what you've sacrificed on the cross is not enough for me. That is covering ourselves with fig leaves, with loincloth. God saw that. Here's what God did. And Isaiah chapter 64, rather, verse 6, it says here, and all of our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. NIV says, all of your righteous acts are like filthy rugs. That verse tells me that if I stand before God, one day we will stand before God, all of us in this room, we will stand before God. We will give a personal account as to how we lived our life. And you know, I cannot come before God and tell God, Lord, you have no idea how many times I've preached in my church in Dumaguete. Lord, you have no idea how much I've sacrificed in order to do this. You have no idea, Lord, how much I've given to this cause. I've given to that cause. You have no idea, Lord, how many people I've helped in the hospital. God would just quote this verse to me and start telling me, all of your righteous acts are like polluted garments, filthy rugs. That is a picture of religion. And God knows that because here's what God does. He saw Adam and Eve with fig leaves. And here's what happened. the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins. So siguro sabi ni Lord, parang hindi maganda yung fashion nyo. Fashion nyo, dahon. Let's do something better. You did that for yourself to cover yourself. Do you folks realize that a better version of you is just a better sinner? So here's what God did. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Two things with regards to this verse. First, it gives us a picture that, number one, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. God could have done something like this. Hard-headed. Here, garments of skin. Oh, magbihis kayo. It could have been something like the Bible says. You know, look at this one. Bible says it was God himself who started clothing them. Covering them. The very work of God, he starts covering them. Not just that. Another thing it says here, the garment that he used were garments of skin. Friends, question, 3 p.m. service? If it's a garment of skin, does that mean that something was killed to cover Adam and Eve? The answer is an absolute yes. Something was sacrificed to cover the sinfulness of man. Blood was shed to cover the sinfulness of man. Now, no wonder when Cain started offering to God vegetables, God told him, if you would have done what is right, will I not accept your offering? Because the Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Even Adam covered themselves with leaves. God starts sacrificing an animal. Blood was shed to cover them. And ever since that time, blood has always been required for the forgiveness of sin. No wonder, friends, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross, not with a drop of blood, but bruised on the heel, pained, wounded, battered beyond recognition, nailed on the cross, speared on his side, in order to bring about the forgiveness of our sins. This was God's plan all along. This has always been his plan. You know, sin opposes the very work of God. That is why the Son of God came opposing the very work of sin. That's the story of redemption. That's the plot twist right there. But guess what? It doesn't end there. There's what we call the consummation of redemption. We are so happy with a plot twist, but guess what? Do not get stuck here. If you're here, you love watching movie series, you see plot twists, you don't get stuck in something like this, because this is not the finale. The grand finale is not redemption, but restoration. Time will come, friends, that God is going to restore everything. Read this with me for a while. Look at this one. It says here, Bible says, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. This earth that we're living, it's decaying, it's all polluted. This is an old order that's about to be thrown away. But something new is coming. Then it says here, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And look at this when it says here, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with man, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Look at this one. Look at this when it says here. And God says, God will wipe away every tear from their eye. You know what it means? You know what it means, friends? This is a picture of restoration. Darating po ang panahon wherein we will not have the ability to cry anymore, because crying is a result of pain. There will come a time where there's not going to be any pain anymore. There will be no asthma, no cancer, no crutches, no wheelchair, no heartaches, none of all of these things, because God will restore the older, the very first creation that he created for every single one of us. time will come, we'll know no pain. There will be no mourning, no crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. In this world, we will encounter trouble, friends. Pero itong world na to, 80 years lang to, 82 years lang to. Give it your best shot in honoring God here. Because time will come when it's going to restore everything. Lahat po ng pain nyo ngayon, that will belong to the former order. And God is going to bring about something new in our lives. In fact, this is His promise, friend. Jesus starts appearing and says, "Behold, I am making all things new." We are redeemed here today, but we look forward to restoration. We look forward wherein God is going to restore every single thing. What is one application that we can glean on from this one? Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, it says here, "Behold," Bible says, "Jesus is coming soon." That's what the Bible says. He is coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. "Behold," Bible says, "I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." God created everything so beautiful. Sin marred, destroyed God's creation. God starts working out a plan of redemption through the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him, all knees will bow. All knees will bow. Every tongue, every tribe will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Then after which He will come back a second time. And it's going to restore the very created order of God for every single one of us. How do we prepare for something like that? How do we prepare for that day? We prepare for that day by honoring God today. By honoring God with our lives in this generation while we are living in this world today.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.